Previously on Dubious Intent.
Supposing we hit the body with a tremendous, whether it's ultraviolet or just very powerful light. And I think you said that hasn't been checked, but you're going to test it. And then I said, supposing you brought the light inside the body, which you can do either through the skin or in some other way. And I think you said you're going to test that too.
From the Palatial Pride 48 Studios, high atop the internet, it's time for Dubious Intent to come screaming at you through I know, I screwed it up. It's high atop the universe. I haven't done this since, like, 2017, so need a little more bass. Dubious Intent is brought to you by Loud Typing. If you're listening to a podcast and you're saying to yourself, hey, I can hear them loud typing in the background, then that's why we exist. Check us out at loudtyping.com and don't forget to use the special discount code DI for a tippity type discount. I got nothing. Welcome to Dubious Intent. I am Daniel Brewer and I am joined by the tippy typey state of Arkansas by the one and only Mr. Adam Burns. Hello, Adam.
You know, that's funny that you say that because I was just tippy typing just not 5 seconds ago. So
Really?
Yeah.
Hi,
Daniel.
Hi.
How have you been for the past 3 years?
Well, you know, I did a thing and then I did another thing and then this big thing happened and then another thing happened and then I was just like, oh my God, they're coming right at us. And then there was another thing that happened and then people got sick and went home. How about you?
Same.
Okay, great.
I'm glad we had this chance to get caught up. All right. Thanks, everyone.
It's like a Bob Hope special. I'm so glad we had this time together. No, wait, that was Carol Burnett.
It was.
You know what? Speaking of being sequestered at home, that we weren't, but sure, let's go there.
Daniel, you're fine. Thanks for asking.
I forgot that.
Yeah.
Speaking of being sequestered, I was going through, have you ever had that thing where you have CBS All Access, you have Netflix, you have Disney Plus, you have Sling, you have Tableau, you've got Amazon Prime Video, right? And you're sitting down and you're like, I don't know what the fuck to watch. There's nothing to watch. I was just like, It's like, because anything that sounds awesome, that is like, yeah, I could go for watching an episode of The Carol Burnett Show right now. And you're just like, no, but then there's all these other things too. And then you just end up sitting there watching nothing.
This may exist. Yes. First of all, yes, that does happen. But so Mark and I have decided, and I think you have already made this decision.
Yes.
We have decided that we are going to, when we move, we're canceling the cable.
Yes.
We are cutting the cord and
snipping it right off.
Yeah, but we've got YouTube TV, we've got Amazon Prime, we've got everything you mentioned, Disney Plus, we've got two Hulu accounts because I wanted my own.
I thought you were trying to put them together in that new network called Hula Hoop.
Yeah, no.
The jokes
are great,
the
funny
people.
One.
That's right, I am the funny one. Yeah. Oh, no, wait, that wasn't the title, Dan.
We've got all of that, and we're using our DVR for right now is a list of the shows that we watch. We look at the DVR recordings and then we're like, oh, there's a new Grey's Anatomy. Mm-hmm. And then we switch over to Hulu and play it on there.
See,
whatever.
Here's the thing. No, this doesn't even apply to yours. Go ahead. Go ahead. So you're going to get rid of it.
We're going to get rid of it. And yes, that thing happens to us. Although right now we never watched Handmaid's Tale. So we're binging Handmaid's Tale.
Yeah, I should borrow one of your Hula Hoops and I could catch up on it.
It's a good show, but oh my God.
I heard it was dark.
It makes you never want to go to church ever again. Like these people.
Okay.
It is so dark. But anyway, it's good. It's a good show.
It's good. It's just dark.
So we're watching that. So we're good right now because we've got.
Yeah, okay. There, I can pin you.
Four seasons or something. I don't know. Of that to watch. But
on Zoom, you dirty, filthy people. I was trying to pin him on Zoom so that I could see. I didn't want to see my big face there.
What I'm afraid of.
Yes.
Is there's no service that I'm aware of. Now, maybe you can tell me that maybe I'm unaware, can tell me. Okay. I know you're a listener of that Cord Killer show.
I am. And why did I hear myself pop back on? Am I coming through on a channel over there?
You might be.
All right, cool.
Anyway, so I'm a thinking.
Yes.
That
you know it's serious. You know it's serious when you prepend it with an It's like, you know, when you come home late at night and they're just like, what are you doing? It's just like, that's okay. But when they start it with the, what are you a-doing? Then you know that they're onto your shit. So I'm just like, so it's serious because you were a-fixin'. What was you? I already forgot what you were.
A-fixin' to. I was, no, I was, I'm a-feared.
Yeah.
That, I'm a-feared that we will forget things.
Oh, as you get elder, more elderly.
Well, no, yeah. Well, I mean, I get called boomer, you know, et cetera, by my boyfriend.
Yeah.
Because I forget things or.
Now, for the record, I'm not even a boomer. Like, you have to be old to be, but you have to be like Archer old. You have to be like Fatty old. You have to be like, dare I say it? Vera Charles old. You can't, you know, the boomers were a long time ago.
What? Well, yeah, I'm not. I tell Mark all the time. I'm like, I'm not, but he's still calling me that. He says, okay, boomer all the time.
Just say, look, does it look like I would be okay with sitting back and enjoying a 3-hour tour? Like literally the whole thing is that it's just saying, just sit right back and enjoy a tale about a 3-hour. So this is basically like, hey, let me show you my slides from my vacation. Let me
is that
show
Gilligan's
you the,
Island.
Yeah, let me show you my slides from my little 3-hour tour. You know, you got nothing better to do. Here, have a Jell-O mold. And by the way, let's watch my 3-hour slideshow from my tour. You know the fat one there? That's the skipper.
I don't know where that was going. You know, boomers also talk about their bowel movements a lot.
Now, when I hear Boomer, I always think of, wasn't there a show on TV called Boomer? Wasn't there a show called,
no.
It was like a doctor show. It was there wasn't a doctor show called Boomer?
I don't think so.
Wasn't he a doctor on MASH or on Trapper John MD or something like that? Wasn't he just like, oh yeah, Boomer? Yeah, let's go.
No, there's a show called Trapper John MD that was,
yeah,
he
but
was
there
MASH
a character, or, was there a character named Boomer on one of these shows? I'm pretty sure that there probably was at some point in time.
I don't know. Wow. We're going on. Anyway, all I was saying was.
Yes. What were you saying?
That you guys forgive us. We haven't done a show together in 3 years. What I was saying is that I know Sater. Oh, sorry. We're having a private conversation between the chat room and no, I want a list. There needs to be a service.
Yes.
I would love a service.
You would love to be serviced by
that pulls together all of my programs.
Yes.
That I watch.
Yes.
And then tells me when there's a new one.
Yes.
And I can just click on it. And it doesn't matter whether it's on Hulu or YouTube or Amazon Prime or whatever.
It'll just play it. Yes. Lamont Cranston. Boomer was on Saint Elsewhere. I knew it was a medical procedural on TV. Saint Elsewhere. It was a great show. I really liked that. And yes, I know there was a Boomer on Battlestar Galactica, Matt, but I knew there was a medical dude named Boomer.
I don't know a medical dude named Boomer. I just know Trapper John. Anyway.
Here's the thing. What if we took that one further, Adam? Like, you want them to say, you know, well, here's the things that you want to watch. And then you click a button and you do it, right? How about if I had it just, I want it to just schedule my week. I just like, but you know what? We watch, you know, 45 minutes to maybe an hour and a half of TV a night, right? That's it. That's all we watch. Because we're very busy lesbians. We got other things going on, right? So it's like that we just do that. That's what we watch. And so we kind of have like a spreadsheet of our schedule. Like, you know, oh, Mondays we watch Parks and Rec because he's never seen Parks and Rec. So we're watching those. And it's like, and then on Tuesday we watch The Witcher. And then on Wednesday we watch Stargate because he's never seen Stargate SG-1. So we're rewatching that. And then on Thursday we watch Survivor because it was on Wednesday and we like to clip commercials. And then on Friday, you know, we don't do anything on Friday. And then on Saturday we watch RuPaul's Drag Race, but in the morning. Anyway, but what I'm saying is, what if that same thing that gave you that choice just made a schedule for you? And it's just like, you know what? Here's your week.
I'd love all of that, but nothing exists,
Tuesdays,
right?
Tuesdays at Adam's house. It's the crazy guy from outer space and tries to eat cats. It's there Tuesday at Adam's house.
We watch a lot more TV than you guys do, by the way. It's like,
but do you have the snazzy announcer guy that walks around and is like, was meant to be a ham sandwich, but it ended up being a calamity. It's madcap hilarity at Adam's place.
George in Atlanta wants to know, is this a written schedule?
Yeah, I mean, you want? Not a written, I want it to just say Monday, I'm going to do this Tuesday, and then, you know, like a schedule, like a TV schedule.
I remember
schedule. On
Sundays, when the newspaper would come,
we
would get this thing, this printed thing.
Called the newspaper? The TV,
no, it was called the TV Guide.
I just need to make sure. You do know the newspaper is printed also, right? So you knew that, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So when you say in this newspaper, I got a printed thing, you do recognize that is also a printed thing.
But there was in ours, there was a separate little booklet.
Yes. We all called it the TV Guide, even though it wasn't the TV Guide, because that was actually a brand name thing. But it's kind of like a Kleenex where you don't call them a tissue, you call them Kleenex, even though that's the brand name. And that's
Ours literally said TV Guide on the front. Maybe ours was the actual TV Guide.
I think this is before we became so litigious and you couldn't you can't say that that's a app store. we own the word app for some unknown reason. It was both the name of a publication, but also a literal thing of, hey, this is the guide to the TV. That's just like a generic term. So of course, they can do the whole, so yes, I'm sorry, Adam, I interrupted you. Please go ahead.
Daniel, we are going to forget everything that we watch. We're going to come in one night and we're going to go, oh my God, what do we watch? And we're not going to know because we're not going to have that list in the DVR.
Okay.
And we're going to get behind on shows.
But you can do that. You can do that. Like, you can make lists other places. So how about that same schedule that schedules out your week? You just tap on, I watched it. And then it populates that for you.
There is an Android app, or there are a couple of them you'll tell it what shows you watch.
That's the problem.
But it's very manual.
I know.
I watched that episode.
Yeah.
You have to tell it and then it'll remember because you told it or whatever. But I don't know. So, if that is the least of my worries in life, I think I'm doing pretty good.
I feel like I hope the whole first part of this show isn't distorted for you guys, because I'm looking at my my Audacity over here and it looked really hot because I had to pump up the volume here for you because the stream was saying that I was not loud enough. Totally forgot that I was also going to be recording. I think it'll be fine.
You were a little distorted in my ears, but
okay. So basically, at this point in time, if you're listening to this show, you are this old. This is how old you are when Daniel stopped sounding crunchy. Congratulations, happy birthday! Let's meet back next year and we'll do it with a candle. Hey, you know what, Adam? We forgot to say that we are streaming live on Pride48.com in front of the world's most amazing collection of fun souls called our chat room. And you also could join our chat room just by going to 548.com and click it. Don't click on the chat room. Go to the place, the Discord. And what is it? It's like participate, alternate.
There's a participate link. There's a participate link, and then there's alternate chat. You click on that. And there's a Discord link at the bottom. We're in transition, but you want to go to the Discord.
All right. And I can't tell you who's in the chat. I can tell you who's on Discord, but I can't tell you who's in the chat. Like, I know Archer is because I see it right there that he said something in the chat room. Let's say hello to Big Fatty. Big Fatty is here.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi. Hi. Hi.
You know, does Big Fatty do any other podcasts?
He does. He does Big Fatty Online.
Never heard of it. But
does he do one on
Sundays?
He does. Survivor's Ready podcast.
Survivor's Ready. That sounds amazing.
It is.
Is it all
Everyone
about the TV show Survivor?
It is. It's recorded
right here on Pride 48 at 9 o'clock Sunday nights, Eastern, 9 o'clock Eastern on Sunday nights?
Yes.
Really?
And you are on that show as well, and so am I.
I am. Oh my God. Now I'm remembering. It's like I woke up from a hazy dream and now I remember these things. That's amazing. Yeah.
Let me tell you guys something about that show. It's a show where we all hate on Survivor.
Except me.
Except Daniel, because he is...
I love that show.
He is a... I can't think of the word. I'm having trouble with words
I'm
tonight.
I'm a fanboy.
He is a fanboy of Survivor. Yeah, that's exactly what I was trying to think
You know
of.
What? I was thinking about that today. I was thinking about being a fanboy today. Oh, you know what? Hold on. Remind me that I was talking about fanboy because I need to finish saying hello to people in the chat room because I got distracted. That was just big fat. Gary in Phoenix is here. Hi, Gary in Phoenix. Used to be Gary in... Where was he? Indiana? Gary in... No,
Albuquerque?
Gary in New Mexico. George in Atlanta, who is in Atlanta. We have Nico, who is in California. We have Mac Zook. I don't know that I know Mac Zook, but hi, Mac Zook. We have Mick John left. Is that a... Does it say anything? Mick John. Anyway, it's just like, Mick John... Left. He could take this no more. He's like, I refuse to stand around and do this because the show is not made a point yet. We have Pride48 Bot, which is all you guys over in the other chat room, which I can't see other than just Archer. And then RT Cruiser. Oh my God, it's RT Cruiser. He is going to be so upset tomorrow when he finds out that there's no celebrity death phone going on. He's just like, going to be so upset. We have, I don't think Sam is here. I think Sam is just on Discord because I see her all day long on Discord and she just kind of stays sated.
She's here.
Sater69 is here in the chat room and international renowned author, Adam, a renowned author.
Yeah.
Matt Burlingame. He's here. Kathy Marshall. Oh. Kathy Marshall is in the other chat room. Lamont Cranston is in the other chat room. I forgot about that. Yes. Hello. So we do see what you guys write. We just don't see a list of who you are. So, and no, Kathy Marshall, there is no death phone.
We have suspended celebrity deaths.
We're in a fucking pandemic. It is like, how sick are we that we... How sick are we that we would do, a death phone in the middle of... Well, we're pretty sick. We just didn't want to put the time in, to be honest. Anyway, here's the thing, Adam. I was thinking about being a fanboy the other day.
Oh, I was supposed to remind you that. Hey, Daniel. Uh-huh. You were talking about being a fanboy. Yeah.
And I was thinking back, just like, I got accused numerous times. Tom and Terry in Chicago, how do we get over into the chat room, into the other chat room? Here, I'm gonna put the invite to Discord right in the chat room. So there you go. So that'll pop over here. Just click on that guy. Just click on that guy and you can be in Discord. Anyway, so here's the thing, Adam. I used to get accused of being a Google fanboy. Do you remember that? Like people all the time.
Yes.
Like
Android
Apple,
and Google.
Apple people,
like
whatever.
All of it.
Oh, yep. You're just a Google fanboy. Google does everything right. Do it. I'm going to tell you. Maybe it was because we quit podcasting. Maybe it was. But as soon as Dubious Intent ended, everything Google has done has sucked. It's just like Google has made zero good decisions over the past 3 years. And I'm so pissed off. It is 2020, Adam. And
yes,
I still, my GPS is telling me how to get out of my neighborhood. It's like, I don't need to know, like, you know what I'm saying? Like I put my GPS every morning when I go to work because I want to know the traffic. I want to know, you know, if there's a backup or whatever. And I have, you know, that's really the only reason I know how to get there. I just, you know, want the traffic thing. It's like, why in 2020 can't I say to my fucking GPS, it's like, hey, I'm gonna go to, Disney, but don't talk to me till exit 11 because I know how to get there. Right. It's like, I don't need your help to get out of, turn left on this road and then turn right on that. It's like, I'm just leaving my subdivision. I know how to do that. It's like, that is something I can
fairness,
do. I don't need you.
And I'm not being a Google fanboy, but in fairness, I mean, Apple Maps does not. And by the way, my phone just popped up with how can I help you?
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway,
in fairness,
the Apple Maps is no better. It's not like, you know,
oh, I know.
What do you want to say, though? Hey.
I want
to
say.
Directions to work starting
just,
at exit 11.
No. Or just how about this? Just don't tell me directions. Because I don't. When you silence her, you just silence, well, him in my case. But when you silence it, it doesn't say anything ever. But it's like, I still want to know there's a slowdown ahead. Or, oh, I've found a better route for you and something like that. I just don't want the turn by turn. You know what I'm saying? Anyway, Google.
Do you ever notice this?
Have you seen Google Podcasts?
when it came out, I glanced.
It's a piece of shit, and it only it doesn't work on the web. Like, they have a separate podcasting thing for their website, and then once, and they don't sync between the one on your phone and one on the website. It's like, so wait, so when I listen, because at first I was like, oh cool, so I can listen to it, you know, a podcast on my phone, and then when I get to work, I can switch over and listen to my computer, and it'll pick up where I left off on my phone, right? That would be awesome. No, it doesn't do that. It's two completely different apps. They have two, and it's still, I don't think people that write podcast apps understand how people listen to podcasts. I'm just, it just blows my mind that, like, we're now in 2020, and like people like that are giving these tools to listen to podcasts don't even understand like how we consume them.
Well, my favorite app is Pocket Casts.
Okay.
And I find that it works fairly well.
But here, see, I have like this whole complicated thing. Like there are shows that I listen to in the car.
Yeah.
And there's shows that I listen to, I'm not going to mention any names, but they have less than stellar sound quality. I'm not going to call anyone out, but it's like, there are shows that I listen to that I can't listen to in the car because I just can't hear them in the car, right? So it's like, those are the ones that I want to listen to when I'm mowing the yard or where I'm doing housework or something like that, right? Because I'll have earbuds in and I can hear it there. But so it's like, I need to separate those two things. It's like, I don't just listen to podcasts like, here's a list of everything I watched, you know, I'm going to listen to today. It's like, I have different podcasts that I listen to for different reasons. Like, as we mentioned before, I listen to podcasts overnight while I sleep, right?
Yeah, there are some that he listens to put him to sleep.
Those are completely, yeah, I don't want.
We won't tell you who those are.
No, I will. I'll tell you exactly what's on my Fatty. Nighttime. No, my nighttime playlist. My nighttime playlist has almost all MSNBC and Twit TV stuff on it. So it's, it has Security Now, which is a hilariously boring show. It has Rachel Maddow. It has Chris Hayes. And it has, it used to have Windows Weekly on it, but now I've been listening to Windows Weekly in the car because a lot of stuff that I have to do at work has to do with office stuff now. So I kind of like have been listening more to Windows Weekly. Anyway, that's the whole thing. Is like, but here's what I wanted to say about being a Google fanboy, and Google is just doing shit wrong lately, is companies aren't persistent, right? It's like me not liking Google products right now. Like, I raise my eye every time Google puts out something right now because I'm like, well, I don't trust you. I think it's going to be shit. I don't trust you because you haven't done anything good for a while, right? But my point is that does not invalidate the fact that back in 2015, I was like, yeah, Google's firing on all cylinders. They got great shit, right? It's like, because back then they did. It's just like they have just stopped innovating. They've stopped making things that make it, it's like they've lost something recently that just makes me feel like they've gotten too big, too bureaucratic. There's something going on there that's just gumming it up. And now it's, you know, it's like Blizzard. It's now they're just putting out shit. And it's just like,
it happens.
But for God's sakes, how long did it take Yahoo to die? Literally, Yahoo was just like walking up to random people on the street and going, here's $500, right? They were hemorrhaging cash for like 20 years, right? It was just like, they had an inexhaustible amount of money that they could just like piss away.
I feel like Google is dying.
I didn't say they were dying. I'm just saying they're not going to die because they're so fucking huge.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, I feel like all corporations, but I do, to bring us back around.
But there's hope. Adam, because yes. Microsoft has been kicking ass like over the past 3 years. So, you know, they can come back because Microsoft is irrelevant for a long time.
Yeah, that's true.
So welcome back, Microsoft. Google, bye-bye. I swiped left on Google. I swiped right. Did I do that right? Right and left?
I don't know.
What I'm saying is I definitely want to bone Microsoft, and I definitely am done sucking Google's dick. All right. So it's like, that's where I'm at right now. So
Google
whatever way
has
I
become
need to swipe,
friend-zoned.
Exactly. There are they when they pop up like, hey, you busy tonight? I'm like, eh.
So if anyone's new to the show, I want to say I'm sorry. We stopped 3 years ago and now we're learning how to podcast again. But and we have a lot to say, so it's all kind of running together.
I should probably save some stuff for the next 6 weeks, but go ahead.
Oh, that's
ahead.
True. But I do want to say this. I wanted to get your thoughts, and I don't want this to turn into a depressing thing. I don't want you to agree with this is what I'm saying, So I'm just laying this out there right now.
Are you
now.
About but to tell them that you have COVID-19? Are you about
no,
to?
No, no.
Okay.
So we were talking about podcasts before. So when Daniel and I talked about doing a little, reboot, a short season, a mini season or whatever of Dubious Intent. I was looking around. I don't know what I Googled Dubious Intent or something. I'm not really sure what I did. But anyway, I was looking for something and I found a review of Dubious Intent. Now, this wasn't like a iTunes review or, you know, one of those podcast apps where you go in and you review things. This was somebody's website where they have decided, and I don't know if they still do this because I honestly didn't do that much research.
Aren't all websites like somebody's website, though, really, when you get down to it?
No, it's they just are. Like, but I mean, it's like a website that they focus on reviewing podcasts, right?
Hi, I'm Emily, and I review podcasts.
And so this is what they say. First of all, it's very detailed. I mean,
they definitely listen. Like, this is, if you have a podcast out there, you may know about this. Like, you'll get emails from people that are just like, hey, I'd really like it if you talked about my book. You guys are awesome, you know, and I got this book called How to Masturbate or whatever. And it's like, yeah, it'd be really cool if you talk about it on your show. And it's like, you've never heard from them before. They don't listen to your show. They don't even, you know, they make assumptions. You know what I'm saying? It's like, they're clearly not people that even listen.
Yep.
But this person listened.
I think one time we interviewed someone on Dubious Intent that was one of those that just emailed us out of the blue.
Yeah, it's like,
and was like, hey, can you review my book or whatever? Anyway.
Yeah. And we had no idea who they were.
Yeah, we didn't. I'm like, who is that? I'm like, oh my God, we're so special. We got a request from someone. They know who we are. Okay.
We did it once.
So this was, we did it once. So this was a review. And and again, so we'll just say, I'll just read this a little bit. So it says what it's about. But he goes into detail of like, technical details, what it is, category, like all this essential info.
I felt
info,
like it was a woman. Do you think it's a guy?
Oh, maybe it's, I don't know.
I thought the site was like Emily's podcast or something like that. It was just like
I'm not sure. It doesn't matter. So it says what it's about. Burns and Brewer have fantastic chemistry. That's the first thing to say. If you're looking for strengths, this is easily the biggest one the show has. The second thing to say is that the other main element of the show is both a strength and weakness. The show is called Dubious Intent, and that seems to mean that the show has no main focus and is pretty rambling. When this works, the show has real energy and chemistry to it. Unfortunately, it often doesn't work. And the rambling doesn't really ever cohere into anything. Is cohere a word? Cohere?
Yes, cohere is the base word of coherent. Yes.
Okay. Well, it sounds weird, doesn't it? It's a really fun show.
It means
show.
Come together, Adam. It means to congeal,
I mean,
to come
I
together.
Get that. I don't know that I've ever heard
Burns
cohere.
And Brewer is not a 50s comedy team. That was Burns and Allen. You shut your whore mouth, Seder 69. Go ahead, Adam. Go ahead, finish.
So, where was I? So then he goes, When it's working, it's really fun. When it isn't, I just found myself listening without having any real sense of what was even being talked about. There are a lot of inside jokes here that a devoted listener would enjoy more. But
who the hell's Fatty? They keep talking about him like all the time. He's like, who the fuck is that?
But that are kind of off-putting to new listeners.
You mean like a fatty? Like, is he smoking a joint? Is like he's like talking about a fatty or something? That's just like so confusing.
Regardless, it's an above average show.
I have no idea why all the people that are confused are like California people. I have no idea. That's just it's like, it's Tony from Zwa. I don't get it. I don't understand what you're saying.
It's an above average show that might even get into my rotation if it was more consistent.
I might even listen to it if it didn't suck.
Or if there were fewer really great shows. So if he didn't, if this person didn't have other great shows to listen to.
If it weren't for the dearth of other great shows to listen to.
They might consider Dubious Intent.
They might possibly consider putting Dubious Intent
now
in the rotation.
I did not do enough research to figure out how many stars they have available.
Well, but we got 12. No,
we got 2.5.
2.5. which on a 3-point scale is fucking amazing, but on a 10-point scale, probably not so much.
Yeah, I mean, the person did say, they did say above average, but they said we're inconsistent. So there you go.
Yeah, I think it's a standard Likert scale, Adam. I think it's a standard 5-point Likert scale. And I say that because I once gave Taylor the Latte Boy such shit for coming up with a 10-point scale on RuPaul's Drag Race when they were rating the outfits. And he was just like, and then keep in mind, it was a 10-point scale, Adam, 10 possible numbers. And Taylor would say things like, I'd give it a 6.5. And I'm like, whoa, now you're splitting them now. It's like, now you've got infinite numbers that you're, it's like, what fashion institute did you graduate from that gives you the command to go down to that level of granularity? Like, oh, it's a 6.25, I think. It would have been a 6.3, but the hemline was off.
It's well,
like,
do you just want whole numbers if it's
saying,
a 10-point scale?
Look, here's the thing. You either liked it, you were meh about it, or you disliked it. And if you want to go to a 5-point where, like, you know, 2 and 3 are like, it's in the meh, I lean this way, lean that way, that's fine. That's good. That's what most normal, sane people do, Adam.
Well, as we know, Taylor, who is a therapist, by the way. Oh, sorry, reviewer, if you're listening. This is another inside. We're talking about a person on another podcast.
Yes. Which is Taylor, probably in your rotation.
Taylor is a guy in Florida who is a therapist, but he's crazy.
He is.
So he's a crazy therapist. So anyway.
Speaking of other podcasts, Adam.
Yes.
I don't even know where my Trello board is.
Trello.com.
No, I mean, I had it in a browser earlier, and not rebel.com. No, Trello. I don't know why it like randomly thought I meant Rebel. You mean rebel.com? Sure, I'll take you there. It's like, no, Trello.
That sounds like something when I went to school in Mississippi, you know, Rebel, because Ole Miss, you know, the mascot was Colonel Reb.
Rebel. Yeah, you do know that my parents met on the hallowed grounds of Old Miss.
I think you've told me that before.
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah,
Adam,
so.
Adam, when I quit podcasting.
Yeah.
The corporate stuff had started to come in. I mean, it had been sneaking in for years, but really I kind of feel like 2016 or so was like the tipping point there where it's like, you know, every corporation had podcasts and they were just pumping tons of money into making these things. And it's just like one of those things, like you can't compete with Serial, right? You can't compete with something that's on NPR that gets promoted on NPR, gets promoted. It's like now it feels like, as I mentioned earlier, I listen to Rachel Maddow and Chris Hayes at night when I go to bed. And on their podcast, the commercials on those podcasts are advertising other NBC podcasts. It's like, you know, so it's like there's just tons of corporate money in these podcasts. And it's like, you know, how do you compete with that? Now, you and I have never charged for the, you know, we don't do the Patreon stuff. It's like we've never wanted to make this like a profession, right? We've always been like, this is something we do for fun. This is something that we do because we like to do it, right? It's like,
right, I don't want to be a starving artist.
Yeah, but it's like if someone wants to throw us a shekel, I'm not going to turn it down, but that's like, is not our intent out of the gate.
Patreon.com/dubious.
Yeah, we didn't go form like an LLC or something and be like, oh my God, I'm going to go. Now that I've been quarantined and having to listen to a lot more podcasts, there's this one from the New York Times. It's called The Daily. Have you heard of this?
No.
All right, so this is the Daily, and it. Do I have this clip here? Yeah. This is what it sounds like.
From the New York Times, I'm Michael Barbaro. This is The Daily.
So, you know, slickly produced.
Michigan has been one of the most divisive states. Here we're going to play some news clips to set up his, but listen to how he talks.
Gatherings outside a single household, travel to in-state vacation homes, and the use of motorboats.
Michigan's restrictions on its citizens' movements have been at the center of a national debate about public health versus economic survival.
Now, if you and I talk like that to a coworker, like if we walked up to a coworker and spoke in that manner, they would be on the phone to like mental services, like immediately, well, right?
I mean, I think I understand what he's trying to go what for, but
I would like to emphasize is my diction.
Yeah.
It is extreme. Now, so I have this problem with this podcast, right? Like that is someone who listens to NPR and is like, I want to do what NPR does, but then they're in their head, they're like, I'm trying to be so NPR that I'm going to go overboard. I'm going to overdo what NPR itself does. Cause NPR is like the, you know, yes, sweaty balls. People have made like, you know, jokes and skits on TV about NPR and how, you know, diction oriented they are, but nowhere close to this guy, right? This guy is just like, literally there's like a caesura between every word. It's just like, Michigan is in a situation. You know, he's just like, come on, guy, come on. It's just like, but here's, I'm going to play another clip. This is him on an interview show that he did. So this is the same show, but he's interviewing someone on this show. And he's kind of like, at the beginning of the show, he's setting up the call. And so he's like, this is his normal voice. So this is him in his normal voice.
Hey, Tilly.
Hi.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing okay.
Tilly, what is that in your hand? It looks like either a blanket or a stuffed animal.
It's a blanket.
Oh, what does it say on it?
It says powered by pizza.
And does it look like it has an image of pepperoni pizza on it?
So here you see, he's like, normal conversation. He's like, Tilly, what is that behind you? On your blanket, right? He's like, so you know, he can do this. So it is a conscious decision for him to do it that
way. Well, yeah, of course, because he has heard other, he's trying to do kind of an announcery kind of voice.
Yes.
But he's doing it the entire show instead of saving it just for, because, you know, like when you start the show,
yes,
you're like,
but that's a bit, right? That's a bit.
Pride for, you know, whatever.
Yes. And
but
that
you
is
don't
a
do
bit.
The whole show yes. that way.
Right. No, because it would be fucking annoying, right? So, and normally these shows, like normally The Daily, I listen to it because they cover things that I care about, but it's like they'll do a story or two, but it's always really produced. You know, it's just like music behind the clips and whatever. And normally that's fine, right? It's just like, you know, they're the Michigan governor is saying something and they've got some music playing behind and then they talk to somebody. You know what I'm saying? It's just kind of theming and whatnot. And honestly, it's no secret, right? In sound recording, music is often used to cover up just shitty background noises, right? So it's like you can dull out the weird background noises by playing some background music, right? It's just like that kind of, your brain latches onto the voices and listens to those, right? So, this interview, though, I told you, is him talking to a girl, a 12-year-old girl, Adam. He's talking to a 12-year-old girl whose grandfather died from COVID-19, like a week or so ago. So he's now talking to this 12-year-old girl who lost her grandfather to COVID-19. And the interview itself is great. The girl is very, you know, she's a very smart 12-year-old. She knows what's going on. She talks, you know, about her grandfather and, you know, memories and whatnot. And she understands, you know, that she couldn't see him when he died because of the virus and, you know, whatnot. And so, but she had an old t-shirt of his and he wore it. It's like, so he's like, it was a very touching interview, which I'm sure, you know, when you hear him talk was done with a lot of respect and was, you know, it was a good interview. But when it made it to their podcast, because here's the thing, this is kind of tying all this shit together, is like these corporate podcasts, and like they're each try to outdo themselves, and it's just they're trying to recreate television or radio. It's like, but to me, podcasting was always not that. Podcasting was always just the genuine thing, right? It's like think back to the beginning of this stay at home stuff when you'd watch MSNBC and there would be people in their kitchen, like, you know, hi, well, you know, I'm sorry, I'm at my kitchen because I'm in here at home and everything. But that was almost more preferable because it felt more real, right? Like now they've all shipped them sets, like they've all shipped them backgrounds and stuff and better microphones and whatnot. So it's like all of them look like they're in a studio, but they're still at home. But, you know, now they're wearing jackets to work and, you know, they have the suits and everything. It's like, you're just making it worse. You're making it fake. You've gone from something that felt approachable and real, and now you're making it sanitized and generic and stuff that podcasting never was.
Oh, that's interesting that you're, well, and I know you're talking about podcasting, but it's interesting that you're saying that because I was like, I've been watching like television stuff where like all the late night show hosts and stuff started doing their stuff from home.
Right.
And I've been complaining.
Success, yes.
Yeah. And I've been complaining because I'm like, oh my God, it's so unprofessional. Like Ellen was like sitting in a room, you know, horrible lighting, no makeup to speak of, no, the audio was horrible. And I was
almost as a human being. So it's like, that's what made me like, all right, so continuing on with this, but here's where I draw the line. And I need to know, Adam, I need to know from my soul that you agree with me on this.
Okay.
Okay. Because I this is one of those things I listen to is like, there's no rational human being that wouldn't think that this was just fucking horrible. So, all right, we know how he sounds normally. He's talking to a 12-year-old girl who lost her grandfather, right? He did the interview and then he sent it to his editors. This is the product that came out of this. Here he is talking to the kid with a happy memory of her grandfather.
Did he have any kind of nickname for you?
Tilly B was my one.
Tilly B.
Yeah, because her rhyme course, they just called me Tilly B and it kind of just rhymes.
Wait, which part rhymes?
Tilly and then B. It's just kind of like, it just goes together.
It rhymes.
Tilly
right,
B.
Right.
Tilly B.
Don't you get it? Don't you get it? There's the funny music, Adam. There's the funny music behind it. It's just like, oh, this is an adorable story. This is an adorable story because there's the happy music behind it. It's the, what do you mean that rhymes, little girl? That's crazy. That doesn't rhyme, right? It's like, this is normal produced reality programming stuff. Like, you know, we're going to put the happy music behind this. So it's important to realize the music wasn't playing when she was talking. Right. She didn't hear the music. Like when I do that stupid intro, whatever, you hear the music, you hear, you know, whatever. But it's like, she's not a participant in this, right? You've now taken this 12-year-old girl who's giving, you know, her story to the world in an interview, and now you're editorializing it by putting, oh, look at how silly she's being. Let's put the silly music behind it. And I know that sounds trite, Adam. I know that sounds trite. But what when it gets fucking dark, and that's this next clip? Because then when she talks about her grandfather's death, listen to what they do.
I don't know if he even got to read those. I remember, so when I heard about that he was put in the hospital because it got worse, Mom was like, do you want to sleep with one of his shirts?
There's a cello.
I was like, yeah. So she brought me the shirt. It was just like a greenish brown t-shirt.
Were you wearing it or was it just beside you?
I was wearing it. It felt like really, really big on me. It's kind of like cold.
Then you're taking a 12-year-old girl and you're orchestrating her grief. You're fucking with, this isn't a fictional character. This isn't like, you know, like we all loved it when Vera would do these like crazy production numbers or whatever. But keep in mind, that was fiction. She would never, you know, when Vera reads her bleeds, right? And she puts music behind it and everything. That's because she is the author and she's conveying a thing. This is a real conversation with a real 12-year-old girl. And it's sick. That someone in the New York Times is sitting there and just like, you know what this needs? This needs a fucking cello. Yeah, let's put a cello behind this. Let's punch up the sad on this. Let's take this girl's grief and then just punch up the sad on it for our own fucking like you know, artistic or monetary reasons.
Well, I'm not so I know you want my opinion and I know you want me to agree in your soul. You want me to agree with you.
I do, Adam. In my
in,
it's
in
like
your
the happy
soul,
part, the happy various music behind her, whatever, you can forgive that, and you know we can all laugh about that and everything. But this is she literally lost her grandfather.
So I have so let me ask you a question before I give my opinion.
Okay.
What would you have them do?
Just play the interview.
Play. So no music, no
yeah,
nothing.
No music. Just... her feelings were enough. You didn't need to, you know. To punch that up, you're not doing it for anything other than, you know, dramedy here. I mean,
well, I mean, they didn't play like gnashing of teeth in the background or anything. Okay, so yes, I agree with you that is sensationalizing.
Yes.
An emotion.
It's like it's like The Biggest Loser. I couldn't watch The Biggest Loser because I would watch these scenes where there was like a woman going like, I used to be married and I was very happy. But then my husband got into a car accident and I had to take care of him full time. And I started gaining a lot of weight. And one day when I was in the car, I couldn't. Excuse me, I'm very sad. I couldn't fit behind the steering wheel. And I knew that was the point where I ended up. And that's why I'm here today. All right, so it's like, and you're thinking to yourself, there's some douchebag on a piano somewhere that literally wrote that music watching this woman tell you about her like most embarrassing, horrible moment in her life. And it's just,
well,
like,
you know, that's what pianists do. You know, as they're listening to people talk, they're just kinda,
by the way, if there's one group of people that has like just cashed in on this COVID-19 thing, it's sad piano people, because every single commercial now is literally like, you know, let me jump ahead here. It's literally like, Dubious Intent realizes that not everyone can be free all the time. But remember, we're here for you during this pandemic. It's like every fucking company now has like some sad commercial. It's just like how they're all there for us. And they're, it's like, it's crazy. Sorry.
Okay. That's what I feel like. Yes, I understand what you're saying. And I agree with you that in an ideal world,
yes,
we wouldn't dramatize people's sadness for a buck or, you know, whatever the case
might
be.
Right, exactly, yes.
However, that being said, that is the way the world is today.
It is, but it's, and I don't mind it in fiction. I just think it really, I don't even so much mind it on The Biggest Loser because they know what they're getting into. I guess my real complaint here is that this girl didn't know what she was getting into. She didn't know, it's like, hey, let's take your heart-wrenching story and then we're going to produce it. We're going to like cut it up and edit it and put some music behind it and everything. And by the way, Adam, this is a total aside, but remember back on Dubious Intent a long time ago when I went and saw Jonathan Coulton in Central Park and he was recording an NPR show and I was commenting how they're like three
engineers. Wait, don't tell me.
Yeah. There's like three engineers on stage, like three sound engineers on stage, like over doing this, you know, it's like, can you repeat this? Because there was an airplane in the background and we need you to pick up this line. Right. It's like, so like that. So I know is like, I think I even commented at the time, oh my God, it's like literally they have 19 people doing the job that you and I do every week, you know, on our own. Right. It's just like, they have like this just enormous bloat in production stuff. So guess on this daily podcast, which by the way, the daily podcast is some interviews and some, usually with, you know, governors and lawmakers and stuff like that. But it's the one guy. It's just the one guy that does the interviews and does the stories. Guess how many people it takes to produce the daily?
10?
Let's find out.
I mean, I don't know. That may
the
have been
daily
way
is
more.
Made by Theo Balcom, Andy Mills, Lisa Tobin, Rachel Quester, Lindsay Garrison, Annie Brown, Claire Tennisgetter, Paige Cowett, Michael Simon Johnson, Brad Fisher, Larissa Anderson, Wendy Dorr, Chris Wood, Jessica Chung, Stella Tan, Alexandra Lee Young, Jonathan Wolf, Lisa Chow, Eric Krupke, Mark George,
that was 20.
Luke Vanderplug, Adiza Egan, Kelly Prime, Julia Longoria, Cindy Sumbendon, MJ Davis Lynn, Austin Mitchell, Sayer Cavedo, Nina Potuck, Dan Powell, Dave Shaw, Sydney Harper.
He's Daniel reading the Emet, phone book.
Hans Buto, Robert Jennison,
35.
Mike Benoit, Bianca Gaver, and Asta Chaturvedi.
30. What? 38 people.
That's ridiculous. They must work on other. I mean, surely they're not paying 38 people to make 30, one podcast.
That's why they had to make that girl so fucking sad. Is 38 people. 30. Wait. No, wait. There's more.
Our theme music is by Jim Brunberg and Ben Landsberg.
That's 40. Wonderly.
Special thanks to Sam Dolan, Michaela Bouchard, Lauren Jackson, 44. Julia Simon, Mahima Chablani, and Nora Keller.
46. 46 people.
Well, again, they, you know, they must work on other shows. They must have a stable of shows at the New York Times.
Is it like the audience is like, Dubious Intent is brought to you by Adam Burns, Archer, Big Fatty, Daniel, Gary and PDX, Inan Miko, Lamont Cranston, Mac Zook, Mick John Left, Nicholas, Pride 48 Bot, RT Cruiser, Sam KD, Tom and Terry.
I know. I've never. That is the most people I've ever heard for any podcast. I mean, I listen to a couple of NPR things, and there are maybe 5 to 8 people. Maybe.
I mean, with with that many people, there's someone literally assigned to like spacing out his words.
There's a sad music person. They're like, hey, we got a girl about to cry. We need some sad music. We've got the sad music producer.
Do we have any email or messages or anything like that?
No.
Oh.
Well, how would we? We just came back.
Like, I thought maybe you would have like held on to one for like,
No.
Like, I was super excited to play the contact music.
Well, we don't.
Someone type something in the chat room that we can read as a comment just so I can play the contact music because I really love the stupid contact music. It was great. There's...
So now we're waiting.
There's people standing behind him. Lasers. See, I know you heard me, Fatty. It's like, yeah, we're like 25 seconds. And let's see. Oh, Big Fatty is typing.
Dearest
Dubious
Intent.
I'm going to make it up if he doesn't. Here we go. 3, 2, 1. Excellent. Adam, we have some voluminous messages. We have some email and some messages and everything, but they're all boring and you don't really want to hear. But here, we did hear from Nico, who says, hey, boys. Well, hey to yourself, Nico. Really appreciate being there. And, we have a question here, Adam. It comes to us from Big Fatty. He wants to know, will you be playing the contact music?
Why, yes. Yes, we will.
Okay, great. There we go.
Was that out of order? Because I feel like that came at the end.
What came at the ending?
Contact.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know where the fuck it was. And it was just like, I was...
You're like, I'm ready for contact that we don't have.
No, you know what? I know we've got the news game coming up, right?
Yeah, we have birthdays as well.
Oh, we do. That's right. We have birthdays. Where do you want to go?
Let's try birthdays. And I want to apologize.
What are you going to apologize for?
Well, because I'm doing this on my tablet and it may be weird. But, okay. We'll see.
All right. Don't apologize until after it sucks. Like, there's every chance that it may not, right? So then I'll be like,
unlikely. Whoa. Unlikely.
I'm so glad you helped me get to the fiesta today. You know why today is such a special fiesta?
Why, Dora?
It's a birthday fiesta!
Yay!
So let's all sing happy birthday in English and Spanish. Ready?
Okay.
Happy birthday.
Well, I'm not the kind to kiss it.
I can hear that.
You know, I'm reminded.
Yeah,
see, I told you it was going to suck. YouTube is... The whole evening before we started, YouTube was muting themselves, and I had to tap unmute. And then I'm like, I'm going to prepare. I'm going to pull it up. And it starts auto-playing.
It starts auto-playing in the middle of it. Yeah, it was just
not
like...
Anyway.
That was not Dora. Dora did not have a sudden rush with, hormones there. She... did you see Dora the Explorer, the live-action one?
No, I've not seen any Dora Explorers, but I am reminded that you and I, when we did that vacation together,
Yes, Dora ignored me on the fucking floor.
You and I were watching the parade.
She turned her back on me. And who had me? Who had me?
I mean, you're
who,
standing.
Wait, no, who got me? Who got me, though? Who had me right
remember.
There?
I don't
it
remember.
It was Diego. Diego is like, yeah, I got you, babe. I got you. I'm right here.
Poppy.
I mean,
Daniel is standing there, like, literally.
Screaming, Dora!
Singing the song. Mm-hmm, I mean, mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm. Everything. Dora is ignoring.
They ignored me.
Daniel, anyway.
Cunt. Anyway, so it's the birthday segment. This is not the Pride 48 birthdays, because then we would be legally bound to mention that it was Nick's birthday. Was the 9th of April.
And, I don't have a song for him.
Yeah, I don't have a song for them. Oh, wait, you have Pride 48 birthdays?
No, I don't.
Oh, because, you know, I know if you know this or not. It's almost Vera Charles's birthday.
Oh.
It's like next week sometime.
Wow. Happy birthday, Auntie Vera.
All right. So you have some celebrity birthdays here that I am going. No, you know, Backpack did see me, Kathy Marshall. Backpack, when she turned her back, Backpack was smiling at me. Here we go. Adam has some celebrity birthdays that he is going to play me some clues as to whose birthday it is. And I, using only my head brain and my mouth words, I'm going to figure out who exactly it is. Go ahead, Adam. Who is our first birthday? By the way, how many birthdays do we have?
Five
birthdays. Here we go.
All right, here we go.
Well, I'm not the kind to kiss and tell, but I've been seen with Vera. I've never been anything less than.
This is the theme to the fall.
So fine.
Guy. This is the theme to the fall guy.
Yes, it is.
Is it? All I keep saying is Steve Austin, and that was his name in $6 Million Man. Was it? Lee Garrett, Lee Majors, Lee Majors. Was it Lee Majors?
It's Lee Majors. Ta da! I don't have.
Do I have it?
You probably do, but I don't have that pulled up. Ta da! Yes, it is Lee Majors. Lee, you know, I didn't look up to see if any of these people were alive or dead. And with COVID-19, who knows? But
Lee Majors would like everyone to know he's dead. Okay, go ahead.
Lee Majors is or was. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. He's probably still alive. I don't know.
Well, yeah, he's got all his bionic parts. He's
81 years old.
81 years young.
Yeah. All right. So here we go. Here is another one going to kind of the, you know, that's an oldie because I really love old TV shows.
We used to play $6 Million Man as a kid. And then what we would do is we would just move really slow and do that noise like.
Here we go.
Here's the thing. We started out friends. It was cool, but it was all pretend.
All right, this is Since You've Been Gone with the letter U, right? Since You've Been Gone,
yes.
by the first winner of American Idol, Kelly Clarkson.
We didn't get to the good part.
Oh, my God. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Usually I cue these up, but I didn't. Oh, my God. I thought I had it cued to, let's see if I can.
Since You've Been Gone.
You know, she doesn't like this song, I don't think.
Well, yeah, because she's probably had to sing it 9 million times.
It's coming up.
That's all you ever hear me say. But since you've been gone, I can't breathe
for the first time. You know, she was skinny back then as well.
That doesn't matter.
It doesn't. But I like to bring up facts that don't matter. Kelly Clarkson is, you know, by the way, her dryer went out.
Yeah.
So she's in quarantine.
Yeah.
Her dryer went out. She's having to hang clothes up on a clothesline.
Oh, my God. She's probably because, you know, when you're walking around the house all day long, you put, 9 or 10 outfits on during the day. So she's probably ran out of clothes by now.
Also, her talk show is doing very well. She does this karaoke thing. And she's 38 years old, by the way. She is alive. And she does karaoke on her thing.
But my question, what does she do? I mean, she's not doing her talk show from her living room now.
Yeah.
Oh, she is.
I believe she's doing one of those Zoom things, like Ellen and all the other Zoom things. I just want
to
say,
By the way, another thing that Google fucked up. Remember when we all used to use Google Hangouts for everything because it was awesome, and then they just like basically abandoned it and everything. And now during the quarantine, they're like, oh yeah, we got this Google Meet, which it used to be called Google Hangouts, and yeah, you should totally use that. It's a piece of shit. It's a piece of shit, Adam.
Yeah.
Sorry, Google.
Anyway, she's hanging up, or she does karaoke where she sings other people. She does karaoke of other people's songs. She is such a good singer. Anyway. All right. Daniel has gone to make himself another drink, but I'm going to go ahead and play this next one anyway while he's doing that. So here, because he's still got his headphones on.
I was just getting ice right here. He's just like... I now realize that they're probably saying Phyllis.
Yeah. I have more if you need another hint. Hold on.
I have to turn off the ice machine because it's about to make a lot of noise. Hold on.
So the chat room, I don't want to say this. Don't look at the chat room, Daniel.
I'm not looking at the chat room. I've got the sad piano music panda right in front of me right now. So I'm going to say, all right, Phyllis, there was a TV show called Phyllis. And I want to say Phyllis Diller was starring it, but I don't know that for sure. Play me my next clue.
Okay, let me play you your next clue. Actually, you know, it's funny. I had never seen that show, and I just learned about it today that it was a thing. But here's the next one.
She can turn the world on with her smile. Oh, God, there's a lot of vodka in that. Jesus Christ, how much did I put
so
here?
What show was that?
Fuck. All right, that was the Mary Tyler Moore show. So
okay, so we've got something called Phyllis and something and the Mary Tyler Moore show.
Wasn't there a ditzy news girl named Phyllis that was there like Ted's been. Cohort there? All right. I am not going to get this, Adam. I know it's not Valerie Burton.
I have one more. Okay. You want one more?
Yeah, one more. Give me one more.
Because, I mean, I want to play this theme song as well, honestly. Here we go.
Shout Factory now. TV, changing the channel.
I want to play that ad.
It's an ad for the 80s.
Oh, my God. Come on, play. Oh, wait. Oh, there we go.
You take the good, take the old, and there you have the facts of life. Okay, all right. So this person, this actor or actress was on Phyllis, uh-huh. The Mary Tyler Moore Show,
uh-huh.
And The Facts of Life.
Yes.
It was Kim Fields. Yes, it was Tootie. I'm kidding. It wasn't Tootie. No, was it Charlotte Ray?
No. All right.
All right.
I guess you're not going to get it.
Let me off the hook here.
It is Cloris Leachman.
Cloris Leachman.
Who I hated in Facts of Life. I was so mad when Mrs. Garrett left and whatever her name, her cousin or her sister came in. But yeah, so she was Phyllis in Mary Tyler Moore. And then she got her own show called Phyllis as a spinoff. Actually, she was Phyllis in Mary Tyler Moore. And then she was Phyllis in Rhoda. And yes. Then Rhoda ended and there was a spinoff called Phyllis.
Yeah, got it.
So they were just giving everybody their own show. Anyway, she is still alive and she's actually in The Cruds that is in pre-production or post-production right now as a voice actress. She's 94 years old.
94 years young. And should we call her? Should we call her on the phone?
Oh, yeah. We don't have Vera.
Vera, we have to have Vera if we're going to call an aging Hollywood actress on the phone.
All right. Here's our next one. Here is our next one.
All right. I do know that this is the theme to The Bad Wife. No, The Good Fight.
The Bad Wife?
The Bad Wife.
Yeah, it's that spinoff.
There was The Good Wife, And then they made the spinoff, The Bad Wife. Yeah. No, this is the theme to the good fight. I almost said The Good Place, but no, The Good Fight. All right. So there's a lot of people on that show. Now, obviously, main one is Diane Lockhart, which is, do you have another show?
I do, but you've already said the name of that show. So, I mean, I can play it, but I don't know that it's going to help you much more.
All right. This is The Good Wife.
It is.
Yeah, The Good Wife. Okay. So we can rule out Julianne Margulies right away. Because they don't even talk about her on the new show. So it's either Luca or Diane, because they were both in the other show. Also, Eli's daughter, I feel like, was in both shows. Let's see. I'm going to go with the obvious one. Is it Christine Baranski?
It is Christine Baranski.
Ta-da! Yeah, I need to get that clip. Ta-da.
She is 68 years old.
68 years young.
And I'm a big fan of both a procedural and any show that's about law. And I really enjoy The Good Fight. I do have CBS All Access, and I watch
them. I have seen The Good Fight season 1 and 2. I watched the premiere of season 3, and then I got to the point where I was like, you know what? I remember what it is about this show. I like it so much that it pisses me off when it's over. So it's just like, and I don't have another one queued up. So I'm like, no, I cannot watch this live. Like, that would drive me insane to watch one every week and then have to wait another fucking week to it. So I'm just like, you know what? When Star Trek Discovery comes on season 3, I'll binge back up then.
Yeah. So. I like it. But anyway, I like, there's a show I watch, Bull on CBS.
Yes.
Which is the Michael Weatherly.
Yes.
Did you know? I don't know if you've ever seen Bull.
I'm a jury consultant. Let me consult with you about the jury.
Do you know who he's portraying in that show? Do you know who he's really supposed to be?
Let me ask you this. What did you think of your grandfather dying?
Yeah. Well, I think you're referring to who it is. I think.
No, who?
Oh, you don't know.
Who knows who he's supposed to be?
No, he's supposed to be Dr. Phil.
Oh.
Because did you know that Dr. Phil was a trial scientist before he got into
it? I didn't know that Dr. Phil was a scientist of any kind.
He was a jury selection person. Oprah had a big case with the cow industry or something.
What, is Nicholas falling asleep in the chair? He's putting a snooze icons
maybe.
in the shower?
I don't know. Who knows? You know, Nicholas is just in it for the CBT. So,
that's right.
All right. Here's the. Anyway, she's 68. I think I already said that. Here's our last birthday.
Okay.
The last one.
Murphy Brown? Mm-hmm. Is that the theme to Murphy Brown?
It's not.
It's the something was filmed for a live studio audience.
As most of them were before.
All right. I gotta click to another window because I just saw Archer say Will and Grace. And yes, it's the theme to Will and Grace.
Yeah, it is the theme
to Will and Grace. I've clicked off of the chat room so that I will not get spoiled again. So.
All right. So we have, you won't, there. It's a large cast. So you won't get it.
Yeah, I know.
That.
There's a lot of
people
there.
Here is the second clue.
Second clue.
On that one.
Ready.
Well, shit. What are y'all doing? This is awful. It's still March.
That's
how many days
Jordan's voice,
in March.
Right? What was his character on Will and Grace?
Oh, I can't remember, but he was in Will and Grace. Yeah.
He's been in a lot of things. I love Leslie Jordan. He was in, what was
Sorted
that
movie?
Sorted Lives, where he was Brother Boy or something.
He's
like
also
that.
In a lot of American Horror Story.
He also has a YouTube channel that is fucking hilarious. Have you seen Leslie Jordan's YouTube channel?
Is it YouTube or is it Instagram? Because he's been posting a lot of stuff on Instagram recently. That I was just playing was a post from Instagram.
Oh, okay. Maybe it was
so,
Instagram.
Anyway, so Archer says Beverly Leslie. He was. Anyway, yes, it is Leslie Jordan. He is
yes, Leslie
really
Jordan.
Funny.
Got it.
And it is his birthday.
How old is his birthday? How old is he?
He is younger than you would think.
Oh, I thought you were going to say younger than me.
No.
He's younger than you would think.
Leslie Jordan, to me, looks very old.
Can you imagine if you were that New York Times guy that you would come out like that? It's like, you are younger than him. It's like...
He's 65 years old.
65 years young. Well, thank you, Adam. I appreciate that. And thank you, Dora.
We did it, Adam.
News game. It's a news game. What questions will he ask? Hey, everyone. It is time for the Dubious Intent news game. Now, back in the old day, Adam would have to comb through the news headlines, trying to find things that that he could like try to fool me with. But you know, now he's gotten several promotions, bought a house. He's a very responsible young adult, and so he doesn't have to go doing this. We're actually going to rely on the New York Times weekly news quiz today. Now, I subscribe to the New York Times, but I have sworn on my honor as a Boy Scout. I would not look at the news quiz on Friday, that I would wait until the show to take the news quiz. I believe it's usually somewhere between 10 and 12 questions. How many questions are there today, Adam?
Daniel, there are 11 questions.
11 questions on the news quiz. And these are all events that happened this week. So here's how it's going to work. Adam's going to read me the question. If I can answer it, I will answer it. If I cannot answer it, he will give me the four choices because it's a multiple choice thing. So he will give me the four choices. And in this case, if I have to ask, I'll probably be looking at the chat room. So please.
You know, I have a better idea.
What?
The episode of Handmaid's Tale that we just watched.
Yes.
The wife displeased the husband.
Yes.
He bent her over a chair and gave her lashes with a belt.
Wow.
So I think if you miss
that sounds hot. That sounds totally hot.
It was horrible. It was horrible.
Can Lamont Cranston spank me with a belt?
Although, you know, I'm sure he can.
Okay, great.
Although, you know, when I was growing up, my daddy, not daddy. But back in the day, I'm from the South, if you guys can't tell that.
You are from the South, where they basically say, hey, daddy.
They do. I mean, I called him daddy. My dad had a paddle.
I was from the genteel South. We called ours papa. Papa.
Oh, papa.
Papa. May we have cucumber sandwiches today, papa?
He would, mind you, this only happened to me once, as far as I recall. But he had a wooden paddle. Yeah. And so if you displeased the parents,
you have displeased me, son.
You would get a paddling.
I say, you have displeased me.
But that was always my brother and generally when I had told on him for something.
Well, yeah.
So.
What's your brother's name?
Michael.
Mom, is Michael supposed to be masturbating in the living room?
Exactly. Yeah. All right. Are you ready?
I am ready for the first question on the 11-question news quiz. Adam, hit me with it.
All right. Initial results showed that experimental drug remdesivir could speed discovery in patients infected with the coronavirus. Remdesivir, how'd you say it?
Remdesivir, yes.
That's what I said. Mm-hmm. Is made by which company? Now, I have multiple choice.
I know you do, but I think I know this one is Gilead, right?
You know, that's so fun. I don't know. Let me click. Do you want me to click it?
Yeah,
is that your final answer?
That is my final answer. For those of you who don't know, you can play along, by the way. If you go to newyorktimes.com or nytimes.com and search for news quiz at the top, you will also get this. And you have to click on an answer before it'll tell you whether you're right or not. So you can play along. You can play along with us if you want to.
Funnily enough, all things lead back to Handmaid's Tale.
Yes.
The name of the new country, because USA no longer exists.
Okay, now is it called remdesivir?
No, it's called Gilead. Gilead, whatever. Okay.
Here's the thing about this remdesivir stuff, though, is just like when they say it significantly speeds up, it's like it takes it from a 15-day recovery to an 11-day recovery. So it's just like, that's not that much of a speed up. But it is important, I am told, because it proves that the virus can be attacked by medication. Like we couldn't. So expect better things soon after that. But anyway, yes, after it goes through its clinical trials. But yes, go ahead. That is the first question. I believe I got that correct, Adam. Is that the correct answer?
It is. Ta-da. And then it shows you like a news story, but I'm not going to read the news story because we have 11 questions to go through. But speaking of coronavirus, I was looking through my mail. Mark had sorted all the mail and put it on our little desk. And we had a little postcard that said, Trump's coronavirus something or other suggestions or guidelines or whatever. Those are not Trump. That is the biggest campaign.
See, here's the thing, Adam.
That is some coverage.
You're showing your hand here that you make more than $75,000 a year because neither you nor Mittens got the even if you got your stimulus check electronically deposited, they sent you a fucking postcard that had like his signature on it.
I knew that story too, but no, neither one of us got that. Anyway, so the next question, President Trump, speaking of, signed an executive order this week that declared facilities related to which industry to be critical infrastructure.
That would be the meatpacking industry, Adam, and he was doing it in response to the scummy head of Tyson Meats basically saying like, well, if you keep shutting down our plants, then there's going to be a meat shortage in this country and you people are going to have to deal with this. Now, keep in mind that he's got 40 to 60 workers that are like infected with COVID-19 and actually probably more than that, that have been infected, but that have been hospitalized from it. It's like, because he can't make changes to his factories to socially distance these people that he pays a minimum wage. So it's like, you know what? Fuck you, Mr. Tyson. Fuck you. We can all eat some vegetables for an extra week because you, sir, are a piece of shit.
You know, interestingly enough,
yes,
Tyson headquarters is right here.
I know, right there in Arkansas.
If you drive by, we have several Tyson plants, and one of them is one of the places where they cook. Because Tyson does raw chicken, but they also make frozen dinners.
Yeah, they do chicken tenders.
They cook the chicken, and you walk, and it smells like chicken strips.
Yeah.
You drive by, and it smells like chicken strips in the air. Anyway.
Is there like some old Arkansasian? Is Arkansasian, Arkansan, Arkansasian,
Arkansan?
Okay. Is there like an old Arkansan with like three teeth, like standing on his?
Well, what you want to do is you want to go down this road till you smell chicken strips.
I've never seen one. But
once you start to smell the chicken strips, you know that you're close. But then what you want to do is you want to drive another 2 miles and you're going to see like a little tree on the left-hand side, but that's not what you want. What you want is you want to look across from that tree and there's a McDonald's there, and that McDonald's has got the yellow trash cans out front. Now, there's another one up there that's got the orange trash cans. You don't want that one. You want to go down because that one with the orange trash cans is across the street from a Sizzler, but what you want is the tree and then the McDonald's with the yellow trash cans, and then at that point, you're going to turn left. And then you're going to drive by the post office, and right up the road from there, about 16 miles, you will find what you're looking for. I forget what were we talking? The meatpacking.
What you were just saying. First of all, you sounded a lot like my pastor.
Well, good.
That voice. Okay. And secondly, the way you were describing directions is what my mom would call going around by Laura's house.
Oh, yeah.
Which means it's kind of an out of the way to get someplace.
Yes.
You go around by Laura's house.
Roundabout way.
All right. So number three, in the midst of the coronavirus outbreak, Mayor Bill de Blasio of New York personally oversaw the dispersal of a crowd gathered for what?
Oh, yeah, he like personally oversaw this. He got pissed off at people that had, I believe it was a rabbi's funeral. Was it? It was a funeral for a rabbi or someone high in the Jewish church.
Is that your final answer?
That is my final answer.
Yes, it is a funeral.
It was a funeral for a rabbi, and like it was something like 2,000 parishioners had shown up or whatever. And de Blasio was like, "Get your fucking ass back inside." This is like. I don't know why he sounds like the governor of Arkansas, but
2,500 ultra-Orthodox Jewish men gathered for the funeral of revered rabbi who had died.
By the way, 2,500 Orthodox Jewish men is like my favorite porn. That's like I love.
Are they uncut?
Yes.
Oh, nice. Okay, the British government has come under increased pressure to reveal details about the secretive advisory group that has guided its response to the coronavirus pandemic. The group is known by which acronym?
Oh, shit.
Do you want multiple choice?
Oh, yeah,
this one,
I think I'm going to have to go for multiple choice here, Adam. What are the
choices?
All right,
well, this first one I'll try to say with the British accent, Basil. The second one would be Dill.
Dill.
The third one is Mint.
Mint.
And the fourth one is sage.
Wait, mint or mints?
Mint.
Mint.
M-I-N-T. These are all...
I'm going to assume since we... then it's basil, not basil, right? So it's like basil. Oh,
I always forget which is the British and which is... I lived there. Did I say that ever?
I don't think you did. You know, you should totally put that in your email address. There's... what was... I thought that was a good one. That's an inside joke. That was one of the inside jokes that the reviewer was talking about. Yeah. Mint, sage, basil, or what?
Dill.
I am so flying blind here, buddy, and I got no phone a friend, whatever. Does anyone in the chat room know what this is? I'm going to say, just as a wild fucking guess, sage.
I have no clue. Yes, that is correct.
Sweet. Read the story.
The government's influential scientific advisory group for emergencies, or SAGE. So Scientific Advisory Group for Emergencies, SAGE.
That makes sense.
Has operated in secrecy. Its meetings are closed and its recommendations are private. The lack of transparency has become a point of contention as British officials struggle to explain why they waited to shift to the stricter measures that were adopted by other European countries.
They were trying to do that whole herd immunity bullshit thing. Yeah, all right, good. Move on. What's our next one?
All right, so the next question. You are 4 for 4 so far.
Sweet.
Until Friday, which world leader had not been seen in public since April 11th?
I did not know that he was seen on Friday, but I'm going to assume they're talking about Kim Jong-un.
Kim Jong-un.
Nice.
Resurfaced in public view on Friday. Everybody thought he was dead.
Yeah, well, yeah. All right. They hadn't seen him,
Apparently he had some surgery or something.
He's probably writing another letter to Trump that he hasn't read, but he's sure is sincere.
Which person announced a potential 2020 presidential campaign as a libertarian?
Fuck. All right. I don't know his name. His Imish. He's a congressman. And
you do have multiple choice.
All right. Give me my choices.
Rand Paul.
No.
Gary Johnson.
Nope.
Lisa Kennedy.
Nope.
Justin Amash.
Imash. Yes, that guy. Justin Amash.
Yes. Sweet. Mr. Amash, the Republican turned independent congressman from Michigan, announced on Tuesday that he would explore running for president as a libertarian.
Sweet.
Because that's all we need is a third person. Okay. 9 months. We need to cloudy the pool a little bit. Okay. 9 months after being wounded in a mass shooting at a Walmart, Guillermo Garcia, a soccer coach, died from his injuries, raising the death toll in the attack to 23. The attack occurred in which city?
Wow. All right, there was a Walmart shooting.
Yes.
What are my choices? Because I don't know this.
Dayton, Ohio. Okay. El Paso, Texas.
Okay.
Jacksonville, Florida. And Thousand Oaks, California.
Ooh, so Jacksonville, Florida. I don't think that sounds right. Thousand Oaks, California. You know, that's right near Vera. Vera is in Woodland Hills, which is not far from Thousand Oaks. I don't know, but I'm going to do my phone a friend here. Big Fatty says El Paso. I'm going to go with El Paso.
I didn't realize we had phone a friend in this competition.
I encouraged the chat room to help me. Yes.
Is that your final answer?
My final answer is Big Fatty. I mean, El Paso.
That is correct.
Ding, ding, ding.
You know,
all right.
So interestingly, I've said funnily and interestingly and yes, something else. Yeah, but yes. In Millionaire, Jimmy Kimmel's doing the Celebrity Millionaire right now. And yes. I love game shows. Fatty loves game shows.
Dude, and procedurals. Especially and procedurals. Yes.
I really am a boomer, right? Yeah, I know. Game shows, procedurals. I'm forgetting things. So,
did you watch Diagnosis Murder?
I didn't.
Okay, great.
But was that Dick
that was
Van Dyke?
It was Dick Van Dyke.
Yeah. I didn't watch that. But anyway, so there was a comedian lady that was on there. I can't remember her name. It doesn't matter. She knew the right answer, but she called out the one that she didn't want. And said, final answer. And then she's like, oh, no, that's not what I meant. But she had already said final answer.
And did he allow it?
This girl, this comedian lady, was in tears.
In tears.
Because she, and they went to commercial. Yes, they allowed it. But anyway, she was literally crying because she had caught.
She didn't get the money for the orphans.
Well, no, they did allow it, and they went with her other answer. Right. So
where are we at? Where are we at?
We're number 8 of 11. Saudi Arabia abolished which criminal punishment?
What are my choices?
Amputation, execution for adults, flogging, or stoning. Does that mean they can still execute children, or does that mean they never executed
they
children?
They never executed children. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm going to go with amputation.
Is that your final answer?
That is my final answer.
No.
No. Stoning? Was it stoning?
It was stoning.
The Big Fatty had it right. Yeah.
No. I'm sorry.
No, it wasn't. What was it?
It wasn't. It was flogging.
Flogging. Stoning.
You know, what they did in Handmaid's Tale.
Bringing it all back.
You know, I want to ask a question. I know we're running kind of long, but this is our first show back, whatever.
Wait, the driving principle of Dubious Intent, we didn't care.
Is that we make sure we go longer than Sater will listen.
That's right.
Another inside joke. All right, so Handmaid's Tale.
Yes.
One of the punishments that they did is they put the girl on this bed and strapped her down, and they removed her socks and shoes.
Yeah.
And they flogged the bottom of her feet.
They flogged the bottom of her feet.
Now, are the bottom of your feet extraordinarily sensitive? I mean,
Have you never, all right, let's say you're at a campground and you got to pee in the middle of the night and you're not like a fucking, uncivilized, uncouth person. So you walk over to the little bathroom house there to pee, and there's stones out on the, you know, like little pebbles out on the, and you're like, and it's like, because you're barefoot. Yeah. Bottom of your feet are very sensitive, Adam. Very sensitive.
All right. Well, there you go. But your heels aren't. But I guess the bottom is different. Anyway, it doesn't matter. All right. Question number nine. Which spacecraft celebrated the 30th anniversary of its launch last Friday?
Oh, see, it's a weekly news quiz, and they're pulling from last week. It was a launch. It was an anniversary of a launch.
30th anniversary of its launch last Friday.
30 years ago would have been 1990?
Sure. Yes. We'll go with that.
We'll allow it. What are my choices?
The Hubble Space Telescope.
No, that was back in the 80s.
International Space Station.
That was like maybe.
Mars Spirit Rover.
That's a good contender.
Or Voyager 1.
Oh, no, Voyager 1 was in the 70s. All right, so, it's between the ISS and the Mars Spirit. It was Spirit.
Okay. No.
Oh, it was the ISS.
Hubble Space Telescope.
Wow. 1990.
The Hubble Space Telescope was launched on April 24th, 1990.
Wow. All right. Excellent.
All right. Number 10.
Archer had it, but I think it was like after you said it. Like he's just like, I'm a teacher. I'll tell you what it was. I'm a retired teacher. I'll tell you what it was.
Is there a Hubble telescope flavored Oreo? That's what I want to know.
Probably. Okay. If so, you'll find it on Archer's YouTube channel.
Oh, no, he was banned. Okay,
we're going to try today. We're going to try the, wait, oh, shit, I don't have it. Hold on. Here, all right, I'm ready. Today, we're going to try the Hubble Telescope flavored Oreos. They're, I'm going to get one out now. I'm gonna reach in there. I'm going to get one out. And let's try a little bit of it here. And husband, you can try some over here. And
wow, it's ASMR day.
It's all right.
Yeah. It tastes a little metallic. Okay.
Tastes a little bit like the Voyager.
In an effort to clear up any misconceptions,
yes,
the U.S. Department of Defense released 3 videos that have driven speculation about what?
UFOs, Adam. Unidentified flying objects. Final answer.
Correct. All right. Number 11.
Yes. Number 11, the final one. You know what? Last week I got 10 out of 11 when I took it on myself because the 11th question was a sports question about the football draft, which I didn't know anything about.
The online streaming concert Take Me to the World featured a gallery of Broadway stars in a tribute to the 90th birthday of which composer?
Oh! Sater's not still in the chat room, is he? Because he would be so pissed at me if I didn't say Stephen Sondheim.
You know, Sater only listens to hour-long shows, so he would have...
He cannot listen to a show that's longer than an hour.
What did you say? Tell me again.
Stephen Sondheim. Sondheim.
Stephen Sondheim is correct.
Correct. Sweet.
So it doesn't tell me a total, I don't think.
Well, it should. No, submit. Count. Down at the bottom. No, down at the bottom.
Yeah. You got 9 of 11. Well done.
Yes. So what is that? How many people, it tells me a percentage, like?
You did better than 54% of those who took the quiz.
Ooh.
24% of quiz takers got the same score as you.
24% of us. And 54%.
That means 22% did better than you.
22% did worse than me.
No, better.
Did better. Okay.
Yeah, because... You did better than 54%.
Yes, I get it. I understand the math. I understand the math, Adam.
That's 78.
Fine. It's fine. It's like we don't have an ending to the news thing. There you go, Adam.
By the way, you didn't say the thing.
I know I haven't said the thing yet. you're going to... Here's the thing. Adam is making reference to this long-standing inside joke that we've had on this show, which I believe that you, read that review earlier, right? Dubious Intent sucks, and it's got a lot of inside jokes that you may like if you knew what they were. So here, I'll let you in on the inside joke. The inside joke is for years, because at Dubious Intent, we did a podcast for 10 years, 2007 to 2017-ish.
I don't know.
Yeah. So
you mean you and I or yes, in total? Because yes. There was a Dubious Intent before
me. No, I'm saying you and I believe did it for about 10 years.
Could be.
Well, so for a decade, all right, even if we didn't do Dubious Intent for a year, you were doing Adam and Maddie and I was doing Dubious Intent. Anyway, the point is we've known each other. We've been podcasting together for over a decade.
Yep.
Okay. So, what was my point? Oh, my point is that here's the inside joke. The inside joke is that every episode of Dubious Intent, the final ending sentence of it is the title of the episode before it. Right?
Yeah.
And that piece of information...
Where are you going with this?
I was so confused. All right, and then the title of every episode, the title. See, now I realize.
No. See,
now I realize the mistake in my life.
You're so confused.
Yes, but now I'm clear. I'm clear now.
You know,
you see, but the title of every episode. The title of every episode.
See, Mark, Mark thinks that I'm confused all the time. Mark's like, oh, Adam is the boomer on the turlet, you know, and like everything. Like, you're the boomer. You're the one that's gets confused.
But my point is that every title of an episode is something that we said during the episode.
Yeah.
And what you guys don't know, unless you're in the live chat room, which by the way, we're streaming up and through June. We're going to be streaming every night, every Saturday night. Every Saturday night, 10 p.m., pride48.com. Make sure you come and join the chat room next time, because you know what? There's like a whole 6-hour pre-show that we do. And then we're on the stream up until Survivor's Ready the next day. So like, yeah, you miss so much if you're not here with us doing this live. You know, it's great. So here's the thing is that the title comes from the show. And but right. The audience, the chat room ahead of the show, votes on what the title is going to be. They so do. It's up to Adam and I and our excellent improving skills here to make it seem as though that title flowed flawlessly out of our mouths, right? That it was something that we just thought of off the cuff and that we said it. It was like not anything that came like from under the Tuscan sun. Shit. Dubious Intent is written, recorded, and distributed under Creative Commons. Give us a call on the voicemail line, 479-221-9393. Or, you know what? Better yet. Just send us an email. Record your voice on your cellular telephonic device, trademark Vera Charles, and send it to contact@dubiousintent.com. That's all you have to do, and then it'll sound better for everyone else, and you won't have to hello, I just wanted to say that you guys were really great. You don't need to do that or whatever. So, Adam, we'll be back next Saturday night, 10 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on Pride 48. Yes?
Yes, we will, Daniel.
See, unlike you, I don't cut my co-host off at the ending of the show. I let them have their piece. Good
really?
Night. Good night, chat.
Good night, David.